Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Divine Chaos. I'm excited to share that I have a new, very special guest with me today. I would like to introduce you to Dr. Don St. John. And I will tell you that his, Dr. Don, your person who reached out to me, the information that he shared just really resonated for me. And I feel like we've been on a bit of a similar path. You are a psychotherapist, a teacher, an author, have been doing this a bit longer than myself, a little, what, over 50 years, perhaps? Is that what I read?
Yes, definitely. Over 50 years.
Yes, and it seems like we're on a bit of a similar journey in working through some of our own stuff through the therapy process, finding our own healing way, and then getting connected with the divine, with love within us. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I think we're going to have a great conversation.
It's a pleasure. I'm very excited to have this conversation because you're talking about the teachings of Jesus. And I've had those strands going in my life for many, many, many years. And what's happening with me now is I'm feeling like I need to bring them all together. And so a good place, I think, to begin that conversation of bringing them together is why, what makes it so difficult? For example, Janine, you wrote such a beautiful book. I mean, it should be on everyone's home library, or really on their kitchen table, so they can look at it throughout, daily. Okay. I mean, it's all there, let go, let God. We're intricately woven with the source, as you so articulately put it, intricately woven with the source. Okay, what makes it so hard for people to get that and live that?
Let us both together process that big question. That's such a good one. Because we are, and I failed, Dr. Shall I call you Dr. Don? Does that
No,
work?
please call me Don now.
Don, okay, we can, I'll call you Don now. I failed to mention to our wonderful listeners, you just are pub have published a book called Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Culture, An Adventure of a Lifetime. And honestly, I think the answer to that question is right there in that title. We from birth, it feels as though that, from the separation from our source, we are wounded. And we have the wounds of childhood and of our culture that our bodies begin to carry and really just constantly kind of begin on this track that pulls us away from being able to be in that peaceful place where we can receive these messages. You want to share a little bit more as what's coming to your mind? I know that, and I share this regularly on this podcast. You haven't been privy to all the podcasts, but it's a really been a constant journey for me to practice these messages that I've learned. And for my co-host Ruth, for my husband who frequently joins me here, it's a practice to be able to integrate these because of the cultural and the just the wounds that we pick up over the years that are so embedded within our entire bodies.
I think that's a magic word, practice. I think it requires, a good analogy, I think, is playing the violin. If you want to be really good at playing the violin, you have to practice and practice and then practice some more. I mean, the real experts, even if they've been playing for 40 years, recognize that to stay sharp with their instrument, they have to practice. And Another thought that comes, you mentioned the shock of separation, and I think, you know, there was a psychoanalyst named Otto Rank, R-A-N-K, and he spoke about that as the initial wounding as we come into the world. And it does, there's that we're separated from source, you know? But I think there's something else that makes it far more insidious. And that is when infants don't receive the quality of connection that they need for optimal development. One of the likely outcomes is that they conclude that there is something deficient, something flawed within them.
Yes. It's interesting. Just on the last podcast we did, my husband was noting that as a child, his parents would often just say, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" You know, and that was just the core message. There must be something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Not that it was intentional, but it was just the lingo that was used at the time, at least in his household. But I can so appreciate going back even further to what you're talking about, to being able, I'm not sure how you worded that, to experience the attunement, the connection, the nurturing with your own parents.
Right. Yeah. It's essential. And it's essential for the optimal growth of our brains as well as our sense of ourselves, our sense of well-being. Because children desperately, infants desperately need that connection. They're wired for it.
And then if you weave in the cultural expectations that our parents were dealing with when we were infants, it's pretty rare, I think, a child that would make it without some sense of that loss or wounding, because our parents are wounded and they're not able to always be fully attuned and there for us, even as infants, being called away by the cultural expectations and the just the core messages about work and whatever else is going on.
Well, I completely agree. I don't think anyone can escape, because the fabric of our culture, I use the word fabric, we can call it a field of consciousness, the understanding, the comprehension, is still at a relatively low level compared to where it's going. I believe we're evolving. I believe, you know, things like The Course in Miracles and the book that you wrote and the book that I wrote and all these, you know, disciplines and comprehensions that are coming into the world, even this conversation about the needs of an infant and a toddler were not part of the conversation 50, 75 years ago. So there's a movement, an evolution, but we're not there yet, you know?
Yeah, so we're on the, we have that task of not only trying to practice how to integrate these truths, this higher awareness, the connection with the divine, but we're also still riding this tandem journey of healing the wounds that so often just started so very early on, and needing to figure out a way to go into that woundedness that we can bring it to love and let it be transformed.
And just a slightly different take on that same idea is that those wounds are exactly what we need to progress on our journey, right? That they're not you know, these unlucky irritations or impediments or random occurrences. We've got those wounds so that we can address them and continue to move forward in that elevation of our consciousness in the direction of recognizing, as you so beautifully put it, that we are intricately woven with source, with the divine. Okay.
So you're looking at the wounding from a little different angle as far as recognizing our wounds are actually, I might be pushing it to say gifts, but catalysts to help us remember who we are, to help us go deeper into remembering our truth.
I think you're accurate with the word gifts, but we also, you know, we have to say that with a lot of empathy for how challenging they can be to people, you know? And I think both are true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. When we're in the midst of that deep pain, we sure as heck don't want to hear that this is a gift.
Right. Right.
Yes. Well, and before we had started talking, Dawn, you had mentioned just also, and this is just on the same path, how the chronic tension that we carry in our bodies can keep us from being able to receive the messages of love that are there for us always. And I wondered if on your journey, if there's been a time for you where you've been keenly aware of some tools that helped you to kind of move past and release that internal tension so that you've been able to open up to receive more of the truth of your connection with the divine.
Yeah, I'm hearing two questions in there, so I'll address them both, whether you intended to have two or not, if you don't mind. One is, what does chronic tension do? Mm. And it does several things, but among the most important are these. One is it provides feedback to the limbic system of the brain, making the threshold for reactivity, for getting upset, for getting, you know,
worked
angry
up.
Or right in that sympathetic mode of the autonomic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it lowers that threshold, so we get upset easier,
right?
Quicker.
Well put. Yes,
and that's one of the things that it does. Another that's a little more nebulous, but very important, is see what has to happen in this process, in my opinion, is our very sense of who we are has to go through changes, has to expand. You know, we talk about our connection to God, to the divine, right? That's a whole lot different than how most of us, who most of us take ourselves to be and who we don't take ourselves to be. In other words, our very identity, our very sense of ourself, who we are, who we're not, okay? Chronic tension participates in the holding of that together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Janine?
It does. And something else that occurs to me, when I help people begin to tune into their bodies and to pay attention to their feelings and how their feelings are manifested and experienced within their bodies. For many, it really resonates when we consider it's almost like learning a new language. for many of us, we don't really know how to, we're not taught, we don't grow up knowing how to pay attention to how we're feeling and what we're needing and how to communicate that and where it's felt within our bodies.
Exactly.
But the thing that you just mentioned that was a new insight for me is, and I'm not sure if you meant to say it, but this is how I took it, is that learning to connect with the divine, with the love itself within us, with God, is another new language, because we're hardwired to the language of the reactivity to that response of the sympathetic nervous system, like the fight or flight response or the shutdown mode. And that's one language that we're kind of hardwired to, that we almost, with chronic tension and trauma, we almost live in that state. That's more familiar than our natural state, where we're more able to connect with God within us, with the divine, with love.
Yes.
So teaching ourselves to be able to move back into our natural state almost feels like a new language. That feels like that feels more foreign for many of us, because we've been so conditioned with this, with the sympathetic nervous system response, that fight or flight, right, chronic tension.
And we can think of it as noise in the system, you know, and because, you know, meditation to a large degree is about quieting down, dropping down, dropping in, you know, listening to that subtle, sweet voice that can, from time to time, enter into our minds and illuminate something that we perhaps have been struggling with for 6 months.
Right.
But when there's a whole lot of noise in the system, it's simply harder to hear.
Absolutely. Right? And,
you know, throughout your book, you speak of relax, let the flow. And see, my hypothesis is all these techniques that have emerged in the last 30, 40 years are coming to Earth to support that process of being able to ultimately let go and let God.
To help bring us back into that natural state, in alignment, in connection with God. Yeah. I remember the first, when I first started hearing love speak to me so frequently, what I was hearing was, just breathe, just breathe with me, just breathe with me, feel my breath within you. And at some point it hit me, oh my goodness, well, that's just genius, because it's through the breath, of course, that, you know, the nice, slow, deep breath that helps to just unlock that fight or flight response, that helps the whole body just begin to come down.
Yes.
And settle, and helps the mind begin to get still.
Yes, and the word breath in Latin, spiritu, also means spirit. Spirit and breath, you know, are linked. And here's, again, we began talking about the traumas of separation, the trauma of believing that we're flawed in one way or another.
Right.
All of those traumas, and you know, and some people have so much more, all of them affect our capacity to take an easy breath, to simply, you know, inhale, exhale, rhythmically, softly, when there's a lot of trauma and tension, therefore, in the body, that becomes harder. It's not so simple.
Was there a time when you recall perhaps using a new technique or a tool?
Yeah.
that most helped you? I mean, since we don't have a lot of time to go into great detail about everything, I
Yeah.
wonder, was there one favorite thing or that was just very powerful for you?
Two that I continue to this day. One is a practice, and it's called continuum.
Okay.
It's a system of meditation movement that is predicated on the biological fact that the body is primarily liquid, some 65%. Most of us know that, right? You've heard it somewhere, the body is okay. And a woman in the 60s came along and said, how does water move? And it moves, it flows, it waves, it undulates, it spirals. And we can learn to connect our consciousness with that depth within ourselves. And for me, this is part of my spiritual practice to, every morning to take time, usually around 40, 50 minutes, and do what we call these dives, where we go into any area. It could be our feet and legs, it could be our jaw and our neck, our eyes, our back, and work our way in a very deep, profound, quiet way. The other discipline that made a huge difference in my life was structural integration, sometimes called Rolfing. You may have heard that.
I've heard the term, but I'm not as familiar with it. So please explain. Yeah.
Well, it's a deep tissue procedure that aims to improve the overall balance and alignment of the body. So, for example, if my head is thrust forward, way out in front of my shoulders and chest, okay, the head weighs about 14, 15 pounds. Think of a bowling ball suspended out into space and what it would take in terms of tension to keep it from falling over into your chest.
Right.
Right? Now, if that head is sitting on top of the shoulders, okay, it doesn't require that tension. And so there's this manual work to improve that overall balance.
I can certainly see how then that would help to just shift the whole body out of perhaps a fight or flight state or protective mode, and
Absolutely.
therefore also release all the tension.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. I really appreciate that. That's definitely something to look into. If we go back to the continuum, to
Yeah.
me, what you were describing sounds a bit like what I call a, what I do is like a soaking meditation, where you move your awareness from one place in your body to another and just really soak your awareness into what you feel in that sensation, bring love and compassion to it, allow it, notice it begin to soften and release. Is it similar to that, or is it, can you?
Yeah, sounds quite similar. I would add, as you're soaking, engage the subtlest movements just to help those tissues release, to help you relax even deeper.
Just some
On
subtle
Tuesday,
movements within it, where you'll
yes.
begin to notice even more of the sensations and more of the letting go then.
Yes. On Tuesday, I'll be 81 years old.
Oh,
And
well, happy almost birthday.
Thank you. And I'm teaching fluid movement to, 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds. And
Oh, wonderful.
it's kind of funny, but it's like the capacity of the body to continue to move in this direction that we're talking about, and the ability to let go, the ability to listen deeper.
That sounds wonderful and beautiful. Can you tell us, is that something that's, do you do it online? Do you do that in person?
I do it in person, and I explain it in my book. It's a really good explanation and where to go to find it. And
Yeah, this is probably, I gosh, this time flew by. I hate to be already getting to this place, but this it probably is a good time to ask you, where do we find out more about some of these things? Do you have any of this on your own website, or is it better just to find your book? What do you recommend?
Both. You can find my book on our website, and you can also find explanations of these various methods. And at my age, I'm not trying to build business anymore.
No, I get that.
And so our website is designed as a resource, as a place where a person can get a lot of information. Janine and I had a very traumatic childhood. It was like, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, and yet it brought me to where I am today. So there's both the horror of that and the gratitude.
And
And
you are the walking example, then, the hope for so many who've experienced trauma, that there is so much healing and growth and joy that can come on the other side of that work.
absolutely.
Dawn, can you tell us what your website is?
Yes, www paths of connection. .com. Can I spell it?
Pathsofconnection.com.
Yeah. PathsofConnection.
That's great. .com. And I will put that in our show notes also so folks can find
Great.
it.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, this has been, wow, just a wonderful beginning place. So much. Yeah, I'm excited to get to your website and to look into all the things that you have to offer. The fluid movement is very intriguing. So hope maybe you've got some of your classes listed there, perhaps, or
I have a problem right now in that I have more people wanting to get into my next class than we have space for. So
right.
I'm scheduling a meeting with my assistant and my wife to figure out what we should do about that. There are teachers, there are a number of teachers who teach online. And if travel is a challenge, just to be introduced to this process, that's a gift of the pandemic, because
Yes.
prior to that, didn't exist. And now there are quite a number of teachers teaching online.
Wonderful. What's called fluid movements? Fluid
It's
movement.
called Continuum.
Oh, the
It's
continuum. Okay.
Continuum. And yeah, the place to check that out, the Continuum Teachers Association.
Ah, okay. Good to know. Thank you.
Continuum Teachers Association.
Okay. Well, Don, do you have any parting words or thoughts since unfortunately we need to close?
I do, Janine. First, I want to say how much I'm enjoying this conversation. You're really skilled at staying with your guest and just asking the right next question. So, thank you.
Well, that's good to know. Thanks.
Yes, yes, ma'am. The other is to encourage people to embark on this journey. Ultimately, it's a spiritual journey moving in the direction of feeling our connection to the divine. That journey has to include our psychology, and I call it, I speak of four pillars or four dimensions. And the first is the somatic, the connection to our own body, the quality of connection, the depth of connection, recognizing all of us can go deeper and discover more of who we are in that journey. And the psychological, uncovering the beliefs that hold us back. Okay? The relational, developing our capacity to be open-hearted with another human being, to take off all the outer garments and bare our hearts and soul to another human being and not feel threatened by that process. Vulnerable, yes, but to not feel threatened by it. And, and then it continues into the spiritual evolution.
Revolution is a good word. It really is an adventure of a lifetime, as your book title describes, isn't it? Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to our listeners getting to find your book and your website and myself as well. Your book is certainly, it's beautifully written, and it is so full of wonderful information. So I highly recommend it for all of our listeners as well. And again, that's called Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Culture, An Adventure of a Lifetime.
And it's out on Audible.
Oh, and it's on Audible as well. Wonderful. Oh, that's really good to know. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because my book as well is now on Audible too. So I appreciate you sharing, nudging me to remember that too. So, well, thank you, Don, so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And I join you in just reaching out in love to all of our listeners and saying, stay the course, don't give up. We're all learning how to just allow ourselves to connect more and more with divine love that we are ever swimming in. Yes.
It's one of my favorite expressions, stay the course.
Stay the course, yes.